Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello, this is Exploring Your Creative Genius. Thank you so much for listening to us today. I'm Carl Nordgren, your host. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill, just the best radio station in North Carolina. This is the show that is committed to giving you lots of different perspectives on what it means to be creative, lots of different thoughts about what it means to be entrepreneurial in your life, because I want you to construct your own understanding of what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial and innovative, not my definition for you, but you construct your own. And one way I get lots of different perspectives is to have awesome guests. And today, folks, we've got a great guest. I'm so excited that we have Gerard Stanton as a guest today. Here's a little bit about him. He's a neuro-linguistic programming life coach, often shortened to just NLP. One of the first people I met in Chapel Hill 42 years ago had just taken on the challenge of learning that wonderful technique. He's a painter. I've seen his paintings. He does great work in oils. It's just vibrant work that I've seen. He's an Air Force vet. He's currently doing some really important work with military folk. And so maybe that's a good place for us to start. Gerard, thanks so much for being here today.
No, I'm very excited to be here. And that's awesome. I love you and I love the show. So, yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah.
Getting to talk to you again.
Well, we usually don't stop once we start. So
It's going to be hard holding this back in. Yeah, I think talking some about the military is great. So some of the work that I do, my organization works with other organizations a lot. And right now I'm working with a group called Give an Hour. And they're an awesome organization. They bring in a lot of volunteers that help them work with usually peer-to-peer support with folks in trauma, what they call man-made trauma. So domestic abuse, financial fraud, things like that. And military service is one of them. So I've been just getting this I've gotten to do some amazing work in El Paso at a place called Fort Bliss, working with active duty Army soldiers. And our goal there is just to teach them how to do peer support for one another. So military has a lot of resources for folks to use. You can go talk about any sort of traumas that you have. And also it's the military. So a lot of soldiers won't. Whether they believe in it or not, most of them just don't believe in it. Others that do are worried that if they go on base where everything is on record and tell someone, oh, I'm going through these things,
right,
it could hurt advancement in the military, their reputation. And so it's really hard to go talk to someone, and we recognize that. So what I've been able to do is go in and with the rest of the team, go in and talk about how to take care of one another. Active listening, how to pay attention to whether your partner is going through something.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, and so that has been a lot of fun seeing people, first day of any sort of
thing. So recognizing they all won't come in, you've put together a program for those who will that can take this back out?
Yes,
oh my
absolutely.
Gosh, fist bump to you, sir.
Thank you. Yes, they've done some really good work with that. I've gotten to tweak some of that as well, and I love it. And that's the work that I do with folks anyway. So I tend to work with entrepreneurs who, we all have our own reasons for being entrepreneurs. I know for me, I like my own ideas. And so I know that my ideas are not always the best, but also that doesn't stop me from liking them more. And so working with entrepreneurs in that same sort of area, how to take care of themselves and how to, change trauma that they might be going through, or even change the way they think is really what neuro-linguistic programming is about. That's what drew me to it in the first place.
And I think I skipped over the name of this current organization.
Yes, I work with Lumiere Strategies. So that's the name of my consulting firm.
Strategies, your company. Well, the work that you do in El Paso is let's double back to that for just a quick second. I enlisted men primarily, exclusively?
Enlisted, definitely. Some men and women, but I would say it's
excuse me, I didn't mean enlisted. I meant privates.
All enlisted. We've probably worked with two officers
okay.
at most. Typically, and there's a reason for that. One of those is that we want them to be in this cone of safety, right? So the moment one of their commanders comes in the room, then they don't talk about the domestic issue they have or why they hate being on the base or how, you know, I have a supervisor that, and then they look over and their commander's there and they're like, you know, he doesn't listen quite so – and then the conversation ends. So we've intentionally left a lot of the leadership out of the room.
Good. Good. I get that. I get that. And the work that you're doing is predicated on this neuro-linguistic programming.
At least my part of it is. That's why they brought me in. So they've done a lot of training in that Given Hour has, and they had their own training program. I was brought in because I'm ex-Air Force. But also because I do a lot of coaching, mental coaching based exactly on this sort of thing. So though they aren't NLP based, I am. And so I've been able to bring that to the training that we do there.
So I know it's, as the name says, it's about the use of language, about the intentional use of language, which I talk about from a different perspective about the intentional use of language. So give us a couple of bullet points about the wisdoms that are shared through this practice.
Yeah. In essence, what we are saying is that, well, there's two parts that are important. Sure, the neuro, the linguistic part is really how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to others. But that speaking to ourselves really matters. The things that we say to ourselves, I'm surprised at sometimes how heinous it can be. If you listen to people's inner voices, you think, wow, you hate yourself, it would seem.
Yeah.
And they say, no, I don't. I'm just stupid. Or, you know, right? And so you get these things.
I'm just tough on myself.
Yes, right? But the other part of that is the programming part. And the programming part is really what's interesting is because the things that I teach a lot of my clients are things that hopefully will mitigate a problem, not just a quick solve. So by that, I mean, if I can teach you, for example, how to alter a memory. We can talk about one specific thing. So to keep it super simple, you have a boss that used to treat you terribly, and now you go to this new place, and it is just hard to be able to talk to your boss about things because you couldn't before. I can help you work so that that memory is not so intrusive and so it doesn't come up so much. And I could do that every time you have an issue, but my goal is to show you how to do that. So when you go home and realize that you had a bad partner at one point, you can say, oh, I've learned how to deal with this. Let me put these programs in place, these mental programs in place, so that I don't take this to my new partner. And so with some luck and a little discipline, and if I do my job right, you can manage these sort of things from now on. And we all have multiple problems, so that doesn't mean I get to talk to a client for a few days and then we're done.
Right.
But sometimes that's exactly what happens, and I love that.
Yes, very good. Well, that's a great start for the show. Folks, we're going to take a break now. Come on back from the break. You're going to hear a whole lot more from Gerard about the great work that he's been doing.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. During the break, Gerard and I were talking about memory. He had mentioned memory in the first segment, and I think there's some really important stuff for us to revisit about memory, and you said maybe you've even got a great story about memory. So let's talk a little bit more about memory.
Yeah, I love the way memory works. I love any study that I see about it. One of my first things that I ever saw was that witness evidence is the worst of all evidence. If you get 12 people who saw a thing happening, they will all tell you differently. And if they do tell you the same, it's because they heard someone else say that thing. And neuro-linguistic programming, since we talked about memory, one of the things that maybe the first program and experience that I got with this was sitting in a class where someone was talking about memory. And she said, I want you to take a memory that no matter what happens to it, you will always be able to go back to it, that you have a photo of it or a story, or there are enough people who can tell you. So I have this memory when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I have the photo. I remember being on a slide, my best friend at the time and his girlfriend, you know, in fifth or sixth grade, so your girlfriend, they're sitting on top of the slide. So when this class happened and we started working on how to change a memory, I thought that would be a good one. And so I took Brian out of the memory, my best friend at the time, and put my current best friend into that memory, who I did not know at that time. There's no way that they could be in this memory.
Okay.
Linked it in place, went through it a few times. And then the thing that is really freaky is that still in my head, I remember my best friend being at the school that I was in. She was, by the way, not in this state. Didn't know. I didn't meet her until 20, 30 years later.
Wow.
But I still see, like, I can swear that that's her.
That's so interesting.
But then I look at the photo that I have, and it is not her.
Oh, that is so interesting.
It was maybe one of the, it was the first time that I was afraid, you know, sort of tongue in cheek, but like, wow, I can't trust anything that is in my own head. Now, that's not really true, but it does show that you can change trauma. You can change negative things. And one of the things that I really believe, you know, I know you and I have talked a little bit about how time works for everyone. I believe that our present gets to assign what was important to our past.
Okay.
As opposed to our past being the thing that just makes us, right? So if we can say, oh, this thing happened to me, but I've just decided that I don't care about it, right, then we can in fact do that. But right, we can also do that in other ways by saying, ah, this thing, yeah, the person that I want to be right now, that should be a thing that influences it. So I'm going to think about it and remember it. But what is kind of cool is that if it's not quite enough, you can tweak them a little bit,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Now, some people might say who are listening, oh, that's delusional. Like but we're all delusional. All exactly. of our memories are wrong. And I love the thing that you were saying while we were on the break, that the longer and more often you think about a thing, less likely that thing right. is accurate. Right. And so we're already doing it.
Yes.
Why don't we use that to our own benefit?
We are creating our reality, what's going on in our brain. I've heard some people refer to it as a slow motion hallucination.
I like that.
I like that the minute I heard it. I like that the minute I heard that. And so the fact that we can create a very best story out of our memories, right? We can create the better version of a story out of our memories, something I still struggle with all the time, but it works. It does work.
It absolutely works. You know, the fake it till you make it, that's a form of it. You know, as we stand in the mirror in the morning and say our affirmations, there's a little while where there's a voice in your head that's like, that's not true.
Yeah.
You're not loved by everyone. You're not going to be wealthy. But the more we say it, the more we start altering our internal belief system right. based on what we're making up about our history and our present.
So that's the reprogramming.
That's the reprogramming.
The reprogramming.
Absolutely.
Nice. So how long have you been a practitioner?
It's been about 2 years now, so very new, but I've been fascinated forever. There's a name I will throw out that you and I have talked about. Darren Brown is the mm-hmm. person that got me into this in the first place.
I've checked him out since you told me his name.
If anyone has superpowers, it is Darren Brown, and he's done a lot of great things. The Experiments is a great series that he's done where we get to look at mentalism, but from applied from like a real day-to-day, like why this thing matters. And when I say day-to-day, it's still really big stuff. Like could Sirhan Sirhan really have been mind wiped and convinced to do an assassination? Could you do that to someone? Darren Brown wanted to see if you really could, right? So mental manipulation has been a thing forever. And, you know, you can do this as a thing. You can be aggressive. Personally, I like it as a defense, right? So marketing is one of those things that this is mental manipulation. It's right. emotional manipulation.
Right.
You want popcorn, we need to go to the movie theater. Here's how you know that you've been manipulated. If you never think about popcorn, if you're not sitting at home right now saying, man, you know what I want? Popcorn. But the second you go into a movie theater, you do, you've been manipulated into wanting popcorn in that instance. That's not your thought.
That's right. That's right. I like that. That's a great picture too, because it happens to me each and every time.
Every time. It makes me angry too. And once I started learning, I would get angry. Whenever I catch myself think, oh man, I need to get a soda. Oh, that's,
they
that's
did
not
it.
Me. They got me.
They did it again.
Yes.
They
yes,
did it
absolutely.
Again. So when we first met, you were working with an entrepreneurial incubator type organization
yes.
in Durham.
That was my nonprofit Helios,
yes.
and we merged and became Echo. And so a lot of this work actually came from that,
okay.
Working with entrepreneurs. We worked with what we called necessity-driven entrepreneurs. So those are folks who
yes.
started working because they needed – this is not a dream that I had to open a bakery and I will now no matter what. This is, I have been released from jail. I am a single parent. I don't have a degree. I was laid off from my job. And so they become entrepreneurs.
Right.
Out of necessity.
Yes.
And that means that they don't always have the training that they need to right. be able to be maybe not necessarily successful because a lot of them already are, but being able to help put processes in place for them. But a lot of those processes are also mental because it's one thing to not know how to put a business together, but it's another to be able to manage the stress, the loneliness of being an entrepreneur, the stress of trying to hire people,
right.
figuring out funding if you're a nonprofit. There's just so much that goes into it. And I found that maybe more than half of my work with every entrepreneur was not just business structure. It was mental and emotional work.
Well, you're making me think of a quote. I forget who it was. Was it Mitch Kapoor, one of the first, you know, the guy that did Lotus 1-2-3, I
yep.
think? I think it's his quote. He said, talent is equally distributed across all zip codes, but opportunity is not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
That is
so you're providing
100%
opportunity,
true.
Right? You're providing opportunity to these very, very talented people. And we're going to hear more about this exciting work when we come on back from the break, folks. I'll talk to you in a minute.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. In this last segment, Gerard is going to talk a little bit about his personal creative life. I've been urging him to share some of his experiences as a painter and as a creative person. So what do you got for us, sir?
Yeah. I mean, the creativity, we're all creative, and I love that part of it. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, I can't paint. Maybe you can't, but I could teach you to paint. It's really about vision, and everyone has their own. So yeah, I've loved being a painter. I've just written my first fiction novel. Hopefully
nice.
It will be coming out in the next few months. I'll talk to you about it then. Someone asked me a lot about how I go about being a business person and a therapist on one side and then being able to paint and write and play. And, you know, to be honest, I hadn't really thought about it because it's just
– who you are.
It's just who I am. But there is some real truth to no matter who you are, sometimes you sort of get stuck a little bit. So – you know, I'll give you – actually, this will be fun. I'll give the even the listeners a little thing that they can do sometimes. We call it a state. So you pick a state. So let's say for me, I want this – I have this creative state that I want to be in. Sometimes you can picture a person that lives that. So if you were a writer, you could say, oh, what's Stephen King like? Like think about Stephen King and then you're inspired to write. Sometimes that doesn't work for me because I don't know that – I don't know those people. What I have is an anchor. I have a little totem that I use. So whenever I need a little boost of willpower, the person – here's a little nerd alert. The people that I think of that have the most willpower are superheroes, Green Lanterns in particular. So I bought this little Green Lantern ring that I actually wear. Has a little Green Lantern symbol on it. I've sat a few times and just thought, oh, when I need willpower, Green Lanterns are great. And I sort of clench my fist like I'm shooting out a laser thing.
All right.
any time now that I need this boost of, I don't know, do I want to paint anything? Is there anything? Maybe I'll just go play a video game or something. I sort of clench my fist a little bit, and it re-triggers that sense of will. And now I'm painting or writing or whatever it is, right?
Nice.
You know, we've said a lot of the times it is not about when you're in the mood to do something. It's about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if you only did stuff when you felt like it. But also, as we've learned, you could feel like it any time with the right processes in place.
Picasso, I think, is the person who said inspiration exists, but it has to find you working.
Yes, yes. That is absolutely right. And, you know, Stephen King sort of speaking of, you know, in his book on writing, that's one of the things that he said, like, I wake up and I don't always feel like writing, but about 15 or 20 minutes in,
all of a sudden you are.
I really do, and I don't want to stop.
The language takes over.
Yes.
Isn't that delightful to start a sentence with no idea how it's going to end? I love it.
I've been in front of a lot of canvases where I'm like, I don't know. I don't really feel like this. And then 3 hours are gone.
Okay.
And that's perfect. That's the zone.
When talking about artistic and creative processes, the Picasso-Cézanne contrast is always interesting to me. In that Picasso, he insisted in his letters and in his conversations, I'm not discovering. I know what I'm going to do. And I know, therefore, when it's going to be complete. Cézanne, on the other hand, said, my paintings are teaching me what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just getting started and I'm getting smarter and the painting's going to call me to do what I need to do.
I love that. I think I'm Picasso. I, in the end, know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I am wrong every single time. Every time. What I'm writing, what I'm going to paint. I see it. Now let me put it to canvas. And somewhere in the middle, this needs to change. Colors need to change. Whole position needs to change. I've never been 100% right ever from the beginning.
Well, and because part of this, I think, might be the power of open-endedness, right? When you don't have it complete in your head and there's still some opportunity for other things to shape, then those other things are going to shape it.
Yes.
They're going to shape it.
You know, whether you believe in manifestation or prayer, you're open to the world,
open.
And you should be. Take a few steps, because once you take a few steps in, the view changes.
Yes.
And maybe you see something you didn't see
you
before.
You get smarter with the
moment
you do that movement.
Absolutely.
Well, back to Green Lantern for a minute. You know, of course, that green is the color of creativity.
And yes.
So it's so wonderful that Green Lantern is the superhero.
When I learned that, I was
it selected you.
It selected me. I had no call. I remember the time it happened. I was in New York and just this voice. I literally, you know, I was like, what am I going to do? I'm trying to figure things out. I was just in New York visiting, doing some business trip thing. And almost a disembodied voice said, you know what? You need a Green Lantern right now. You need to focus your willpower. And I thought, that's genius. What is – okay. And I got my ring size and I ordered it that day.
All right.
And I never looked back.
That's so wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you, Carl.
For
this
being
was
here.
Amazing as always.
We're going to get you back. Folks, I was a guest on Gerard's podcast a few weeks back and the radio station has said, yeah, let's get that up on the – site. So it was a lot of really good conversation then too. So we're gonna get you're gonna get to know Gerard quite well through this show before we're all through, folks. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.